In today's Daily, staff writer Harry Brunas shares his latest dispatch from Route 66. He's traveling that historic highway all summer, searching for stories that reveal an America we often miss in the day's top headlines. Today, we're sharing his piece from Illinois, along the banks of the muddy Mississippi River. It is a place, he writes, where the waterway is not so much scenery as a force of nature. What he learns about this central corridor of commerce, this highway before highways, tells us a lot about ourselves. And it shows how a great economy can depend on a series of locks, generations of dam operators, and a diminishing flow of water. It's Thursday, June 25th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Stephanie Haynes. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. A federal judge tossed out immigration court arrests. The ruling in California on Tuesday vacated the Trump administration policy, which the judge called arbitrary and capricious. As the government scaled up detentions of immigrants for mass deportations last year, critics said courthouse arrests violated due process. Separately, the White House on Tuesday scored a victory in an appeals court in Washington, D.C., which allowed expanded use of fast-track deportations to resume. Right-wing candidate Keiko Fujimori is expected to become Peru's next president. This was the closest election in recent Peruvian history, with Ms. Fujimori securing an insurmountable lead of just over 43,000 votes late Tuesday night. This was her fourth time running for highest office, and the daughter of controversial former President Alberto Fujimori is expected to carry on the family legacy of iron-fisted security policies in the face of growing crime. Her rival, leftist congressman and former commerce minister Roberto Sanchez, said he would refuse to recognize the results unless thousands of votes cast by Peruvians abroad were annulled, alleging irregularities with consulate counts. Also, Camp Mystic has filed for bankruptcy. The popular faith-based summer camp for girls has been the subject of lawsuits and a state investigation after 25 campers and two counselors died in devastating flooding in central Texas over the 4th of July weekend last year. The Chapter 11 filing pauses lawsuits from the families of victims alleging gross negligence by the camp in preparing for the flood. Lawyers for victims' families have said they will fight to keep the lawsuits going. The camp had sought to reopen this summer, but chose not to after intense scrutiny from state lawmakers. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The Mississippi River still captures the imagination, though it is today meticulously managed to ensure the flow of a nation's commerce. Changing conditions make that a constant effort, reflecting America's economic growth and transformation. Harry Brunas and Alfredo Sosa report from St. Louis for The Monitor. Since the 19th century, birthright citizenship has been the law of the land, but the U.S. is hardly unique. The legal principle still stands across most of the Americas. Whitney Ulick reports from Mexico City for The Monitor. Voters express their opposition to the construction of data centers in local elections across the U.S. Traditionally, pro-business Republican incumbents were ousted in primaries after supporting local data center projects. Story Hinckley reports for The Monitor. Far left wins in congressional primaries followed mayoral victories in major U.S. cities. Mainstream Democrats, struggling with voter dissatisfaction, are unhappy about the rising leftism. Linda Feldman reports for The Monitor. With France sweltering under another heat wave, many, including The Monitor's Paris correspondent, are wondering why the country hasn't made more headway in responding to the deadly temperatures. Colette Davidson reports from Trouville-sur-Mer, France, for The Monitor. The Dance for World Community Festival in Cambridge, Massachusetts, has performers and attendees waltzing across language barriers and borders. The idea that dance is for everyone, regardless of ability, infuses the festival. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Cameron Pugh report from Cambridge, Massachusetts, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Congress is blowing the roof off of America's home supply. For the past couple of years, American politicians on the left and right have competed to define a political buzzword, affordability. Does it mean increasing individual resources to meet everyday costs, or raising the output of goods and services to lower prices, or both? On Tuesday, Congress did the country a favor by passing a bill, in a rare case of broad bipartisanship, that helps give common meaning to the word. The measure puts a stamp of approval on an often unescapable law that supply will rise to meet demand when free to do so. The bill, which still awaits the president's approval, mandates a range of initiatives aimed mainly at raising the nation's housing stock. It would reduce production bottlenecks rather than raise subsidies for home purchases. The number of parts in the legislation itself reflects how much lawmakers endorse a supply-positive approach. Through artful political compromise in Congress, the bill compiles nearly 50 initiatives from dozens of proposals offered by both sides of the aisle. It would, for example, greatly reduce the cost of factory-built homes, speed up environmental permitting, and provide federal incentives to reform restrictive local zoning laws. It's reaffirming at a time of real polarization that you can still see Democrats and Republicans coming together and passing common sense legislation that should be a help to most Americans, San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria, the incoming president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, told the Boston Globe. While the actual impact of the federal measure on local housing remains to be seen, Congress has nonetheless passed its largest housing bill in decades, while also partly clarifying the public debate over affordability. Housing affordability starts with supply, and this bill makes meaningful progress toward building more homes and lowering costs for American families, said House Financial Services Committee Chair French Hill, a Republican from Arkansas. His point was endorsed by the panel's ranking Democratic member, Maxine Waters of California. With its focus on widening the pipeline for new homes, the bill represents a paradigm shift in federal housing policy, Dennis Shea of the Bipartisan Policy Center told Bloomberg. And he added in speaking to the New York Times, that shift would give members of Congress of both political parties an opportunity to talk about what they've done and what they're trying to achieve. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as the Lord's Prayer assures us, God maintains our lives and delivers us from anything unlike his goodness. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Madara Udiaikong, and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.